Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. God is so consistent in his love for us. I know I say that a lot these days, but I mean it fresh every time. The Lord is very consistent with his love, and he's been trying to help us go forward. Ministers are raised up. Sometimes a ministry has a focus, a narrative that the Lord uses that ministry to help people, like with Kenneth Hagin, learn faith and how to apply it. With Charles Capps, we learn how to speak faith. And then with wonderful men and women of God, we learn different aspects of faith, such as things that Ed Dufresne and Nancy Dufresne teach. And when I listen to them, I hear aspects that we need. She was such a... I listened to Nancy Dufresne this week, and she is a blessing. I thank God for her. And she said something that she talked about how the Lord told her, I don't want to mess it up, but in other words, she says that Jesus was talking to her about her failures in some ways. You know, people fail. He said, but I share my success with you. Now, when I heard that word share success, that reminded me of something the Lord told me years ago. And I talked about it recently, about how what was happening. I asked the Lord to show me people that he made in other places, other planets, because he had taught me that he's still making planets and people. And I said, Lord, I want to see what it's like on another planet. And he said, are you ready? And I got afraid. when he asked me, was I ready to see it? I said, yes. And then I was actually afraid. I didn't know what to expect. You know, when you read Revelation and you see the beast, they have four faces. I mean, what am I about to see? I thought he was going to show me a vision right then. And he spared me. See, God knows when to do what and how to prepare us for things. But I really wanted to see this. And even though I was, I felt afraid. Now, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but I really did feel afraid, because I really believed that he was going to show me something that I didn't know what to expect. So he gave me a word picture. He said, when I show you, he said, notice how they love each other. Notice how they work together. And notice the success they share. I said, wow. And for the first time, I heard somebody else use sharing success, and it was Nancy Dufresne. And Jesus was telling her, I'll share my success with you. That's what I've been saying. You know, when you are doing things in the name of the Lord, you may not know everything. You may not be an expert, but as long as you're in faith, God will compensate you. And I watched my dad and my mom. Now imagine this. Now they work blue collar jobs. My dad worked the kind of job. When you work, you come home, you want to sit down, because you're working all day in that factory. It was hot. He would take a shower at work, and he would come home. He didn't have to take a shower. He'd feed the birds and feed the dogs and sit down and read the paper and try to recover. On the weekend, they drove to Utah, Alabama, which is an hour and a half away, to get to the parsonage, and the church was across the street. So they drove an hour and a half one way every week and back. They leave on Saturday, come back Sunday. But this is the point I want to make. The taking authority over the enemy was not known to them. Now, you read the scriptures, but it wasn't like a lesson like Kenneth Hagin taught us that we had authority. And by the time I got saved, people started understanding authority and how it worked. The first person who taught me about authority was a guy named Chris Lucas. And he used to be he was an Italian Catholic, and he got saved as a Christian. You know, not that he wasn't saved, but he got saved. he became a born-again Christian. And so he went to the Church of the Nazarene. And he was the first person to tell me that I had authority over the devil. Now, I knew I applied authority. I used it. I lived by it. But in like 1989, or 90, it was 89 or 90, the Lord, Mr. Austin let me listen to the authority of the Believer's Authority cassette series from Kenneth Hagin. You can watch it on YouTube. I learned more about it. I learned that my authority was unlimited. Now, Chris told me about it, but he probably got it from not just the word, but also the way he learned it probably originated again with Kenneth Hagin. Because people weren't taking authority that way until he, you know, mainstream Christendom didn't do that. That wasn't a thing. But he taught it many years before I got saved. So Chris told me, and then I listened to the series, how the Lord alerted him to it. Now, the point I want to make is why they were doing all this activity, working. My mother was a school teacher. My dad worked at U.S. Pipe, which was under Jim Walter's resources, and he worked in the Rockwool section. And they worked hard. Then they would drive an hour and a half on Saturday. And he pastored three churches. He preached at one church one Sunday to the next. But he lived in the parsonage in Utah. Then he'd come back home. And he did this all my life. I mean, all my life he was a preacher. And he always preached at least an hour away. He used to, before Utah, it was Fort Payne and Altoona and Collinsville. I remember going to those churches from the time, as far back as I can remember, because I was going with them to church ever since I've been in the world. Now, they didn't know about authority. I'm just using that for an example. And in the Methodist church, faith wasn't taught either. But they kept preaching God's word, doing God's work, and God compensated them. He made the difference. And I remember I was sitting by the tree. My dad said something that just really blessed me. I got three older sisters. And one day he said, I sought the Lord and I said, Lord, I want a son. He prayed for a son. And that's me. And I would have had an older brother. But my mother fell down an escalator while she was pregnant with him in 1960. And the baby was stillborn. While my dad was out preaching, the baby came at the house and he was stillborn. And then 3 years later, here I am. So my parents went through a lot. They needed to know about authority. They needed to know about the glories of faith. But every believer has faith, has a measure of faith. And when people are not trained, God compensates us. Where we fall short, Jesus shares his success with us. And so do people in other places, in other planets, in realms. There's three things the Lord pointed out. He said, notice how they love each other. Notice how they work together. And notice the success they share. And when she said that, my eyebrows went up. I said, wow, there it is again. And nevertheless, the Lord loves us and he's with us. Anything you want to know about, you can ask the Holy Spirit. You are in the kingdom of God, and the mysteries that, you know, God, he arranged things. It's like he wants you to knock, seek, and ask. You know, it... He put all those stars out there. You got a relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ. The ball's in your court. Are you going to ask what he did? You know, cold religion would say, no, you don't ask God questions like that. And that's what I want to deal with today, cold religion and how it started. But and science would say, no, we got this figured out. That's a dumb thing to ask God. Are you going to listen to the world or are you going to look to the Lord? With a relationship with the Lord, you can ask questions. Now, I'm the kind of, God made me that way. I like to know how things work. And that might be the reason I became an auto mechanic. I'm interested in how things work. God put that in me. I didn't make myself. He created me. And for such a time as this, everybody is unique that way. One time the Lord gave me a message call where he said, in the message I was preaching, I forgot the message itself, but within it he said, I want to give man his individual uniqueness back. And I said, I kind of understood that. I said, but I learned to ask questions. And he taught me to do that. I said, I asked more about it so I could deliver a better message. So I said, Lord, what's your definition of our individual uniqueness? What is it? He said, it's what you want to do. It's what you want to be. It's what you want in life. What you want to do, what you want to be, and what you want in this life. That's your individual uniqueness. And then the difference is the things of God, he said it this way. It's what you want. It's what you want to do and what you want to be. And these desires don't conflict with the word of God, and they don't conflict with your conscience. And that's how you find your individual uniqueness. What's important to you? I remember years ago, Mike Murdoch said, if you want to, the problems in this life that you see that you want solved, things that aggravate you, that's the kind of wisdom God is going to give you. And he had a lot of wisdom. God gave that man a lot of wisdom. Now, I like when God, when people are operating in their element, a better word for that is in the glory that God gave them. They're operating in the glory. You know, if you want that information, you got to seek the Lord in that area. So when people are saying things that I would never think to ask about, I listen. Because I can get another point of view by the same Holy Spirit. See, some things you may not ask God about, but you wouldn't know to be interested in it. But somebody else, just like I asked the Lord about other planets. And I'm not the pioneer in that. I knew a friend of mine, he had a prophet's anointing, and he asked first. And it kind of broke the ice with me. He said, Lord, did you make life on other planets? And the Lord said, yes, but they're not like you. And that's what James told me. And then after a while, I started asking the Lord about things like that. And you know, the first thing he said, it honors me that you ask me about my creation. And then I felt comfortable. And he was working with me over time. He worked with me. Now, cold religion wants to take the life of God from you and replace it with death. But it's not going to look like death. It's got to look good or you won't receive it. So what I want to do now, I want to go back in time a little bit. Look at Jeremiah chapter 10. Now, every man and woman of God that's been washed in the blood of Jesus has kingdom abilities. We have kingdom covenants. We have access to God. We have access to the Holy Spirit at our will. At our will. So, even if you want to do something that's just too big for your britches, the Holy Spirit can compensate you. If you don't know how to do it, it matters not. If God tell you to do it, you got an anointing to do it. You have God's ability to, the anointing. And I want other ministers and I want people everywhere to understand God's definition of the anointing. Because if you understand his definition of the anointing, you'll take it more seriously. You'll take other people's anointings more seriously. And sometimes people are in anointing competition, which they shouldn't be, because it all originates from the Holy Spirit. And we should embrace what he's saying and not try to mishandle the things of God. See, we handle holy things. Everything of God is holy, and we should handle it holy. And the Lord monitors to see how we're going to handle holy things. Now, the anointing, even if you mishandle the anointing, that's not good for you to do. But you're not going to die like you would if you. The glory is when you die. Remember the Holy of Holies? We talked about that at the end of the last broadcast called Perfect Love. When the priest would go in, I think it was a high priest would go in there once a year. And he'd represent the people to God and God to the, as he, you know, he'd represent the people. And he'd go in the Holy of Holies once a year with a rope tied on his foot and bells at the end of his garment. And one day we'll look at that, you know, it's a long time since I don't even know where to find it right now, but I've read it many times. And it's in that. If they stop hearing the bell, they drug him out. Why? Because that's where the glory of God is. In full measure. So, now Henry Groover said something, and I don't like to say what people say without revelation, but I believe it, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say it anyway. He said, whatever state you're in, when the glory appears, it amplifies whatever's in you. Now, I'm asking the Lord more about that, and I desire that others do the same. I'd like for you to ask the Lord about that as well. And when he give me more revelation, I'm going to share it if it's all right with him. Now, the reason I brought that up is because Henry Groover was at a church and they were singing a song asking for the glory to come down. Now, they were doing this in faith and the glory was coming. And the Lord told Henry Groover to tell him to stop. He said, tell him to stop. And if you watch the YouTube video of this, he explains it much better than me. And it took, this video lasts about an hour. So I'm just giving you the short version, the very short version, because I'm going on to something else. When he told the people to stop it, then he explained, you asked for the glory to come down. And that's, the glory is the same thing, it's the same as what's in the Holy of Holies. And some people had sin in their life, and they would die. And so once they stopped, and he explained it, the whole church went into repentance mode. And the pastors that were there besides Henry Groover prayed with the people. And after a while, the Lord told Henry Groover, you're done here. And he left and went and left. And he didn't know what happened after that. He met a guy 20 years later that told him that a great revival broke out in that church and never was the same. He said, I'm surprised they never got you to come back. He never knew about what happened after. He just obeyed God. But I learned something about the glory. When the Lord come back, Elder Lewis used to teach that when he comes back in his glory, it's going to arrest everything. Everything shuts down that's not of God. Everything with sin in it shuts down. Men die. Devil gets trapped in hell. That's how it works. So, but the glory, and I talk about growing from glory to glory, and I do that because it's in 1 Corinthians chapter, or was it 2 Corinthians 3? It talks about us growing from glory to glory. Is it 2 Corinthians, I think, 10? I think it's 10. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. It says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, a new revelation that's a new glory to you. And if you enter into it, you have to be trained to enter into it. And if you enter into it, it works in your life. And to me, authority was a glory. When Chris Lucas first told me, and then when I heard the tapes of Kenneth Hagin, the Believer's Authority, I entered into a new revelation, which was a new glory to me. And the Lord trained me, and I walked in it. Now, the Lord helped me renew my mind. My heart had the word in it, and he helped me renew my mind. And then I was able to stop the gunfights because I lived in a drug-infested neighborhood. And my neighbor across... Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with open face behold as on a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that's why I talk about the glory that we enter into. Now, he explains this, Paul explains this in the previous parts. And he shows us that as we receive revelation, we're entering into it. We see it, but it's like looking through it's like looking in a glass. We see the glory. We're on the outside looking in. And then we're changed into the same image from glory to glory. We see the Lord, but we all, verse 18 again, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the image of the Lord. Now, as I entered new glories, like authority was a glory to me. When Chris Lucas taught it, it was a glory. Then Kenneth Hagin taught it. And I listened to the believer's authority. And I learned to use authority in greater measures, see. But when Chris Lucas taught, he probably, whoever taught him, or, you know, the word teaches it ultimately. But a revelation as deep as he taught it, it probably originated. I know it originated with Jesus, but Kenneth Hagin probably everybody in modern times they probably learned it from Kenneth Hagin or either Derek Prince in modern times, and also I know Lester Summerall did too, you know. But as these men, great men of God, Smith Wigglesworth, they taught authority, and eventually it caught on. So it was in the Word all along. But when you walk in the Word in greater measures, it's like walking into a new glory. Now, I want to go back to Jeremiah 10. And see, the Lord, the wrong thing starts somewhere. It has a starting point. The enemy, he know that God is walking around like looking for people. His eyes run to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose heart is perfect toward him. So and he know that eventually the Lord's gonna find somebody like Job. So he want to figure out how to mess this up. Jeremiah 10. Says, hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe, and they deck it with silver and with gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs to be born or carried. You know, that we don't talk that way. They need to be born. That means it needs to be carried about because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Now watch verse 7. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doeth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the kingdoms, and in their kingdoms there is none like unto thee. Now, if the Lord was known as he is, who would not fear him? But so the enemy tried to get to him first with lies and misunderstandings. You know, verse 8 says, but they are altogether brutish and foolish. Brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. The stock, they take a stock of a tree and make a god out of it. It's just wood. It can't do no harm and it can't do no good. He says, silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Euphaz, the work of the workmen and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is in their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. They make beautiful art pieces, basically, and call it a god, and people go for it. It's kind of like what theologians do when they don't know God, and false religions. It says, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting king. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Now, the enemy tries to use countermeasures against us. This is way back. This is how it started. This is how idolatry didn't just pop up. It started with something. And the Lord goes about doing good, and the enemy tries to get people out of the will of God and stay out of the will of God, out of the realms of the king. So that, and not knowing. Now, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We speak in tongues. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have a relationship with him. We can ask questions. And whenever somebody receives like I said earlier, there are many types of ministers out there, and they have their own focus, their own assignment. I said earlier, the anointing, it's a sanction. I asked the Lord for that definition, and I do want everybody to know what it is, because then they'll take it more serious. The anointing is, I asked him, I said, Lord, what's your definition of the anointing? He said, it's a sanction that gives a man or woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. And the anointing mounts up. It goes forward. And when you're anointed to do something, you're anointed to do this assignment. And so when people operate in their anointing, just like Kenneth Hagin taught us faith, Kenneth Copeland taught us faith and aspects of faith, or Roberts, healing and faith, Charles Capps taught us how to communicate, how to speak faith, and other ministers, I love it. All right. There are many more aspects to be taught, but the foundation comes first, and then we build up, and more people need to be that more. The laborers need to be further along, have an open relation, have a strong relationship with the Lord, learning and being given greater assignments. Now, the enemy, he wants to shut all that down. He don't want people to know what they're capable of. Every Christian is capable of much, because once God anoints you to do something, if you're faithful with it, it will continue to mount up. Now, every ministry won't look the same. It won't function the same, but the anointing will mount up. And up, and up, and up, and it don't stop. Now, I want to show you this before we close. Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 1. I want to show you something. Now, watch what Paul said. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy is our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declare unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, they're thriving. They're thriving. He continues saying, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. There it is again. St. John said it first. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And Jesus, in having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he